know, that song really captures the verse that opened up that experience, that creation is waiting in eager expectation. Eager expectation for what? For this kingdom to be revealed. It says for the sons of God, sons and daughters of God to be revealed. It's a waiting in that song that doesn't seem to kind of let you go. It keeps you in that piece of anticipation. And in many ways, that's kind of like the world that we live in. I think we all recognize that the world doesn't work the way it's supposed to. That this world is broken. There are things that are wrong in this world. And the Bible says that when creation was first established, that that wasn't the case. It was perfect. But when sin entered the world, things went south. Things went south, and it says that there was an authority that actually took over in this realm that we call the earth and the world. And in other parts of Scripture, it talks about the evil one, or Satan, being called the prince of this world. That word prince can be translated as boss, the boss of this world. So there is clearly something not the way it should be. And we know that's not God's final plan, but when we're living in it day in and day out, boy, it sure feels like forever. So today, as we continue in this kingdom journey, we're turning a corner. And for many of us, I think today will be a moment of truth, because what we want to talk about today is how does this kingdom advance? How does this kingdom advance against that other authority that's opposing it? There's a verse that showed up on the screen. I just want to revisit it. It's something that I've been really thinking about a lot this week. And it's found in Matthew 11, verse 12. And this is what it says. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. And I think what this verse is saying is that there is opposition. There is definitely opposition to this kingdom that Jesus talked about, this kingdom that he came to establish. But at the same time, the kingdom is advancing. It's advancing every day. But when I open the newspaper, or when I turn on the news, I don't necessarily see that advancement. If anything, some days when I look at what I read or what I watch, I would say that the kingdom is advancing at a snail's pace, if at all. So two things are true. Either when Jesus said that the kingdom was advancing, he was not correct, or we need to understand how it looks to see the kingdom advancing around us. And that's what we want to explore today, is how does the kingdom advance, and what is the significant role that we're invited to play in that? And that's exactly what we want to talk about today, because we've been talking about kingdom and the fact that this was a central theme of what Jesus taught when he came to the earth, and that he uses in the book of Matthew several illustrations to illustrate principles of the kingdom. And this week, what we want to do is talk about three illustrations that Jesus used to kind of point out how this kingdom that he came to establish advances. And we find these in the book of Matthew. And the interesting thing about all of these is Jesus was an expert at using practical things, things that people were very familiar with in their everyday lives, to paint a clear illustration of a spiritual principle. And so today, he uses three that I think are just really impactful for us to look at. The first is found in Matthew 13, and it's Matthew 13, verse 31, where we find these words. It says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. What Jesus is illustrating here would have been very relevant and evident to the folks that he was talking to, because the mustard seed, kind of from the research I did, I didn't grow up on a farm, don't know much about farming, so I had to do some research on this one. But the mustard seed, particularly in that time, was one of the smallest seeds that the farmer would use. And even though that was the case, the mustard tree, which kind of more of a bush, would actually be one of the largest that you would see in a garden. And so Jesus is using this illustration of a very, very small seed, or a small beginning, that yields great results. And so I think here he's illustrating one principle about how the kingdom advances. There are surprises in how the kingdom advances. The kingdom advances through unconventional methods. The kingdom advances through unconventional methods. God uses small things to have great impact for the kingdom. And he's illustrating that in this illustration or story. And so I've thought about just what are some of the small things that are advancing the kingdom. We saw a lot of them on that video. Someone making a choice to say, I'm going to build relationships with women in South Africa who have a need, and I'm going to leverage their talents to be able to help them create sustainability for their families. She talked about the fact that by buying and selling those beads, it creates a week of food for folks in South Africa. A guy who just said, hey, you know what? I'm just going to have a shirt that says, if you need prayer, come and engage. And I'm going to go out and walk and build relationships. And by doing that, I'm going to be advancing the kingdom by building those relationships with folks in a community that may be mine or maybe another community. Great things. Folks building relationships with high school kids and students to advance the kingdom. People cooking meals for friends and family and others, maybe strangers, to advance the kingdom. The kingdom advances in unconventional methods through these small things, many of which we probably wouldn't even be aware of, that are having a great impact on the kingdom and having a great impact on people's lives. In my own personal life, I think there is a small thing that had a significant role in advancing the kingdom in me. Because one of the things, as Ali said, or one of the ways the kingdom advances, is it advances in us. And I know that when I was in my mother's belly, she began to pray for me on a regular basis. And I remember her telling me how she would read the Bible to me when I was not yet born. And how she would pray over me. And I remember her saying that other people would come and they would pray over me. These small acts of praying, you know, a mother praying for a son. But as I look at my life and I think about all of the times where I've seen glimpses of the kingdom, times when I've gotten to experience the kingdom, times where I've just had things happen to me that there was no explanation for other than the fact that God was with me. And I know that it started from the small act of a mother making a choice to pray for her son every day. To pray for me on a regular basis. The kingdom advances through unconventional methods, through mustard seeds. One of the things we talked about is that Jesus didn't come to form a new religion. He came to start a revolution, and it is a mustard seed revolution. He goes on in Matthew to talk about a second illustration on how the kingdom advances. And this time he uses something that would be familiar to folks who were responsible for baking or who had any experience with that. In Matthew 13:33. It says he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. How many folks bake? Some hands? Some folks have some experience with baking? I have limited experience with baking, so I had to kind of lean in on this one. Well, actually, let me be honest. My experience with baking consists of watching my wife bake. So I don't really have any experience with baking. But for those of you who do, let me ask you a question. I'm using flour. I'm going to add yeast. Do I want to add a little or do I want to add a lot? I want to add a little. Why? What happens if I add too much? Sticks. Explodes, some people said. It's like a blob. Yeah, there's something about yeast that is, even in small amounts, super permeating throughout the flour. And I think that the illustration that Jesus is talking about here is that the kingdom advances almost in these hidden ways, what I'm calling insurgent acts. The kingdom advances through insurgent acts. Second way that the kingdom advances. Now, the word insurgency or insurgent probably brings to mind some uncomfortable images in your mind. If you're like me, this was a word that probably wasn't a big part of your vocabulary until a couple of years ago when we started to hear about the war on terror and until we started to invade Iraq and see all the things that are happening. And now it seems like every day on the news you hear insurgency or the insurgents. And typically it's associated with harmful things. The insurgents blew up another car bomb. The insurgents did something to harm other people. But the word insurgent means someone who has said, I am going to actively rebel against the established authority. That's what the word means. And so let's go back to the illustration that we saw in Romans chapter 8, where it says that, again, the world doesn't operate the way it's supposed to, that there is an authority in place in this world, an authority of darkness that is opposing this kingdom. And so what this is saying, and what Jesus is illustrating through the yeast, is that the kingdom advances when people actively choose to rebel against the darkness of the world with forceful love. Insurgent acts of love advance the kingdom. Insurgent acts of kindness advance the kingdom. When we say, hey, you know what? There are some authorities in my life that aren't healthy. And instead of continuing to engage in those, I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to engage in healthy authorities and I'm going to recognize kingdom authority and walk that way. That's an insurgent act that advances the kingdom. Every time we put ourselves in a position of saying, you know what, there are certain things I just need to receive from God. There are certain things I don't need to work for. And it's not about what I do, but God loves me because of who I am. And I just need to receive that. That's an insurgent act that advances the kingdom. When we choose to forgive, when we choose to say, even though I want vengeance in this situation, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to extend forgiveness. That's an insurgent act that advances the kingdom. The kingdom advances through these little insurgent acts. People actively rebelling against the kingdom of this world and saying, instead, I want to be about the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. The kingdom advances that way. And there's been insurgent acts going on all around our community in the midst of this kingdom experiment that we're doing. How many people have had the time to go up to the kingdomexperiment.com website and read some of the stories? If you haven't, I encourage you. It is well worth the time to go up there and just see the great things that are going on. I was up there just this week, and there's a couple of stories that really, really hit me. And just so you know, what's captured on that website are folks who've had an encounter with someone and then got one of these. This Sensi experiment card. And so what these stories are people who have been touched by an insurgent act of the kingdom. And they have been so touched that they're willing to go online and share a little bit of their story. And so there's a couple of these that I want to read to you now, just what's going on in the midst of this kingdom experiment. Here's the first one. It says, I am the resident manager of Creekwood Village. On Friday, March 9th, I got a call at 3:30 a.m. that a home unit was on fire. I ran to the site to find out that two units were burning down. No one was hurt, but 10 homes were without electric. An electrician worked with Duke Energy and myself to get power restored to 6 of the units, but 4 were still without. A group of people showed up at my office door on Sunday, March 11th, with bags of groceries, offering some to me. I explained that I did not need them, but I have a few residents who could. I told the group about the fires and who all were affected. They took the groceries back to the units without power and gave the bags out. They left 2 other bags in my office for others who were affected but were not at home. I kept the items in my office and called the emergency contact number for those units. They came and collected the bags from my office and were so thankful for the help. I don't know what this experiment is about, but in my book, if it is about a gift of love, such as the love God sent to us via his son Jesus, then I would say it's a great success, at least to the residents of this park. Just awesome stories of what's going on. Insurgent acts. Here's another one. I'm kind of a lonely person. I'm 13 and I have like no friends at school. I love acting and sometimes kids laugh at me because I tell them that even though they laugh at me now, they will be sorry one day when I am famous. Then a girl who was in my math class came up to me at lunch and said, you know, there's a drama club after school if you want to stay after someday. When she gave me the card, I thought it was the website for the school drama club. But seeing this makes me feel a lot better to know that people really do care. Yeah, you can clap. Insurgent acts of love. I mean, think about just being 13 and feeling that way and having someone extend relationship to you. Something we can all relate to. Here's my favorite. It's my absolute favorite. It says, I have already written a story about my free hug on Fountain Square today. I don't know if anybody read about this, but people were giving out free hugs on Fountain Square. After reading other people receive their card, I cannot quit crying. I feel so good to know that others out there in the world, especially Cincinnati, really do care and love anonymously and expect nothing in return. And here's the line that just, I love it. I don't believe in God, but these people are God sent. That's the kingdom advancing right there. That is the kingdom advancing. These insurgent acts are going on. And you know what? There are things that will never hit the website. They'll never hit the website, but the kingdom is advancing through insurgent acts taking place in the lives of folks here. A couple stories for you. One is we're doing this journey with several other communities around the tri-state area. And so as we're kind of doing this here, at other areas, folks are engaging in the same process. And I think it was the second week of the journey, we talked about this idea of authority. I've mentioned that earlier, and the fact that there are some authorities in our lives that we identified as unhealthy. And we've been doing experiments as a part of every week. And the experiment this week was, what would it look like to give up that unhealthy authority for a week? And so in one of the churches, they were having a community group that was meeting and kind of going into it, a kingdom group, kind of like what we're having here. And one guy in the group kind of was bold enough to say, hey, you know what? I've been thinking about what is the authority in my life that maybe I need to give up. And what I'm realizing is, for me, premarital sex is something that wasn't really a big deal. I wasn't really concerned about it and, you know, didn't think too much about it. But as I'm thinking about it, I wonder if that might be an authority in my life. And so with his girlfriend next to him, he says, so for this week, I'm giving up sex. And his girlfriend was right there and she was okay with that. So I guess they're cool. But for someone to have that kind of courage to say, hey, you know what? There's something I'm seeing in this kingdom journey. I may not have seen it before, but I'm going to be bold enough to engage and say, hey, what would happen if I give that up? What might happen to me if I think about the authorities in my life differently? Another great story is something that happened in my own kingdom group. And it's continuing to happen. There's a friend of mine and his wife is in the group. And I think she would consider herself a seeker, someone who has questions about God. And, you know, she's open to hearing what we talk about. But at her stage in life, she's just kind of thinking about what that looks like for her personally. And so it's been so great to see her fully engage in the midst of this journey. And in our group, she's just sharing. And I know that at their home, she's at a place where she's encouraging them to read the Bible together, her and her husband, and that's something that they've not done frequently before, and it's just great to see her allowing the kingdom to kind of just be revealed to her. And so I asked her, I'm like, well, what is it for you? Why are you engaging at this level? And she was like, you know, I think a lot of it is just because it's so cool to be a part of something that I know has a positive impact on so many people. And I'm willing to engage and see what that looks like for me. There are these insurgent acts that are going on all around us. There are insurgent acts that you are doing, choices that you are making based on this kingdom experiment that we're in. And I want you to know that the kingdom advances through those acts. So the kingdom advances through unconventional methods. The kingdom advances through insurgent acts. And there's a third illustration that Jesus uses about how the kingdom advances. And this one is kind of interesting. It happens later in Matthew. And Jesus often would tell stories like the story of the mustard seed, like the story of the yeast. But this one was an acted out live demo. So this one kind of happened live and in person. And we find this in Matthew 21, starting in verse 18, where it says, early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he being Jesus, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly? They asked. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Again, there's some stuff you read in the Bible and it makes sense right away. And then there's other things that you kind of got to chew on. And so if you're like an environmental person, you're probably like, what in the world did a fig tree ever do to Jesus? What's up with that? I mean, he's cursing this tree. The tree withers. What is that all about? Well, Jesus was making a very poignant illustration here. An illustration, which is why I say for today, I think many of us are going to face a moment of truth. Because Jesus was illustrating something from that tree. That particular fig tree was one that wherever you had leaves, there should have been fruit. Wherever there were leaves, there should have been fruit. And as you notice, it says Jesus went up to the fig tree. He kind of went up to inspect it. And when he saw that it was all leaves and no fruit, he responded. And his response was really what we need to hear today, because Jesus at some point is going to call you to question. You're engaging in this journey, you're engaging in kingdom experiment, you're seeing glimpses of the kingdom, and at some point, you've got to decide, are you in or are you out? See, Jesus wasn't railing against people who have legitimate questions. He wasn't railing against people who might be seekers like my friend. He was railing against people here with this illustration who are all leaves and no fruit. He's railing against people who say, hey, I'm gonna play this thing, I'm gonna play the game, But I'm not going to let this kingdom experiment, I'm not going to let this stuff really penetrate. I'm seeing things, but I choose not to react. I choose not to change my life based on what I'm seeing. Jesus is saying, if you are all leaves and no fruit, at some point, you've got to decide. Are you in or are you out? And why? Why so challenging? Why so upfront about that? Well, here's the reason. Because you have a significant role to play in the kingdom advancing. You have a significant role to play in how this thing will take place. There are people around you who you need to be the kingdom for. There are people in your job that you need to be the kingdom for. There are people in your home. There are people in the schools that maybe you teach at. There are people here that need you to be the kingdom for them. So the question is being asked today, are you in or are you out? The other thing that Jesus illustrates in this story, though, is the tremendous authority that you have when you opt into the kingdom. Let's go back to what he says at the end here when he's talking about prayer and he's talking about this idea of prayer and faith. He says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. And then this is what he says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. He is illustrating here that prayer is one of the ways that we advance the kingdom. Why prayer? If you're like me, you've got some questions about prayer. You know, I pray. And there's certain things I understand about prayer. There's certain things that I'm learning in my understanding about. And there's other questions that I have. Why would Jesus use prayer as the example of how we advance the kingdom? Why not talk about all the great things we can do? Why not talk about all the great things we could say? Why prayer? Well, what I want to submit to you is that prayer may be the most aggressive move we ever take toward God. It may be the most aggressive way we ever advance the kingdom. So Chuck, why do you say that? Well, I say that because I think history bears that out. Let me tell you two stories. One happened a long time ago in the 1700s. There was a group of people called the Moravians. And the Moravians were a group of people who were Christ followers and were committed to seeing this kingdom that we're talking about advance. And what they decided to do was have a 100-year prayer campaign. 100 years. 100 years. Not the same people, obviously, but 100 years as an organization. Have a prayer campaign. 24/7. 365. Prayer. What were they praying about? They were praying for their neighbors to see the kingdom. They were praying for their friends. They were praying for their coworkers. Maybe they were praying for their enemies to see this kingdom. They were praying for people in other parts of the world that they had never been to before to experience this kingdom that Jesus came to establish for 100 years. One of the things that took place in the midst of that 100 years is something called the Great Awakening. And even a cursory history book typically has a sentence or two about the Great Awakening. And the Great Awakening was this time when in Europe and in the United States and even internationally as ministries and missions started and going other places, that people in the millions opted in on this idea of the kingdom. In the millions. Now you might say, that's just a coincidence. It just so happens that at the same time that people committed themselves to 100 years of prayer, there's this spiritual awakening that literally went over the earth. You might say that that's a coincidence. So let me give you a more tangible example. And that's the example of this place right here. You see, before we had all these cool seats in place, before we had the nice fancy big screens, this place was under construction. And when it was under construction, there were exposed beams that were going to support this building. And we had an experiment, if you would, here, where people took Sharpies and they went around to all these beams and they wrote the names of their friends. They wrote the names of their neighbors. They wrote the names of their father, their mother, their sister, their brother. They wrote the names of people that they wanted to see experience the kingdom. Some of you are sitting in seats today and your names are on those beams. I was talking to a friend of mine and he was one of the people who did this. He wrote the names of his father, his mother, his sister, and his sister's husband on these beams. Wanted them to experience the kingdom. And I want to tell you that today, his father, his mother, his sister, and his sister's husband are engaged in this kingdom experiment. They're engaged in this kingdom experiment. They are not necessarily at a point where they've got it all figured out, but they're engaged. They're engaged. You see, because this idea of are you in or are you out, that question is being asked. But that question and what it means to be in doesn't mean that you've got it all figured out. It doesn't mean that you've got it all perfect. You may still have questions, but you recognize that you've seen something and you're saying, I want in. I want in on this idea of the kingdom. Allie talked about the prayer experiment that we're doing this week. And I would encourage all of you to do it. Again, you don't have to be a guru. It's not about being a prayer expert. Here's what it is about, though. I would ask this question as you engage in this experiment, as you think about prayer this week. I would ask this question. If what Jesus said is true, and if for some crazy reason, even though it doesn't make sense, the God who created the universe allows himself to be influenced by my prayers when I am praying that the kingdom gets advanced, if that's true, then what are some things that I may have been afraid to ask that I now need to begin to boldly ask for? Hey, there are other parts in Matthew where Jesus says, if you pray, you don't have to have it all together. Don't wait until you're perfect. You can come to God with your anger. You can come to God being honest. You can come to God and not even believe he exists. Your prayer might be, God, I don't even know if you're real. So if you are, show me. If that's true, and if you can engage in prayer that way, how might that change how you pray? My prayer is that the experiment that you do this week is a watershed moment for how you see prayer. And not because it's happening here at Crossroads. And not because wouldn't that be neat if that happened in the midst of this journey. But it's because each of you has a significant role to play. So my prayer is that this week you see prayer absolutely differently and you get a clearer picture of the role that you have to play. We've said throughout this series that Jesus is a king and he has a different kind of kingdom. And what you need to know today is that Jesus is asking you that same question. What say you? Will you fight? Will you fight to advance this kingdom? This kingdom is forcefully advancing, but it advances when you get all in. Will you fight for this kingdom? What say you? Will you be the kingdom to the single mom in your neighborhood that can use a little help? Will you be the kingdom to your children? Will you be the kingdom in the schools that you teach in? Will you be the kingdom in the marketplaces where you work? Will you be the kingdom? The question today is, what say you? Will you fight for us? Will you advance the kingdom? The question is being asked, what say you? If you had the opportunity to get a picture taken, I want you to take that picture out right now, and I just want you to look at it. And if you haven't had that opportunity, I want you to know that there will be people in the back, and in a moment, you'll have an opportunity to get your picture taken. When this picture begins to develop, the way Polaroid works, there's a chemical reaction, and so at first, there's nothing there. It's gray. But over time, it begins to be revealed, and it becomes more and more clear. And what I want you to know is over these last 5 weeks, I believe that this is the process that many of you have gone through. You may have come in here and not had a really good idea of what this kingdom thing was all about. But over the last 5 weeks, it's become clear. And for some of you, you're at a point right now where you're looking at a crystal clear picture because the kingdom is advancing inside of you. For others of you, you might be at a place where the picture is still developing, but you've got glimpses. For others of us, we may be at a place where we haven't even taken the photo yet. Today, we invite you to give. A couple of weeks ago, we had an opportunity to receive. Today, you'll have an opportunity to give. And what are you giving? As much as this picture is a representation of yourself, if you're at a place where you say, I want in, then in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come up here and as a very physical, tangible sign, give your allegiance to the king. Now, you might be here and you're just not at that place. And I want you to know that that is fine. That is fine. We're all at different places on this journey. However, I believe that there are some people in here who have a mustard seed inside of them, who have something that is growing inside of them, that has an insurgent act that needs to build up inside of them. And those people today need to declare your allegiance to the King. If that's you, I want you to get up. I want you to get out of your seat. And I want you to come down here today and declare your allegiance to the King.
Guys, pray with me one more time. God, I just ask for these people here who are saying, you know, maybe they said it 10 times to you throughout the course of their lives that they want to be a part of what you do. And maybe there's people here who are saying that for the first time today or in a way that they've never said it to you before. But I'm very aware of the fact that I'm surrounded by people who are saying that I want in on what you do. And I want you to talk to me about what you do. And I want to live it out the way that we're learning in our kingdom groups, to be people who are forgiving and encouraging and people who take chances and people who love people around us. And so, God, I just ask that you'd speak to these people. I know that you made everybody in here to be able to hear your voice. And so, God, as these people go out and say, I want in on the kingdom, I just ask that you'd meet them there. And I'm thinking about the scripture right now that says that if you come looking for me, I'll always let you find me. So we thank you for that today. And I would just say for me, I want to be representative of your kingdom wherever I go. Amen. Thanks. Thanks for being here. Thanks for participating. Enjoy your kingdom group this week.